that. Am I on? Good. Can you hear me? Oh, double good. Good to see you all. You know, Nick mentioned in our little meeting before, this microphone hates me, and so I fully expect halfway through we'll change, but that's all right. It is great to be with you. If you've joined us just at church this week, we're doing something a little bit different at the moment, where we take 2 weeks in the holidays. Normally we go through books of the Bible, and so we've just finished looking at Genesis 1 to 11, 1 to sort of 12.5, if you look through the book of Genesis. We're looking at the letter of 1 Timothy. That's our normal, in next week, that's our normal habit here at church. We just go through chapter by chapter. A little bit different tonight, we're looking at Jesus as the image of God. Last week we looked at humanity made in the image of God, so that's where we're heading. And in order to do that, I want you guys to do a little bit of work with me tonight. But it's worth it and it's fun. And that is, I'm going to flick to a few different passages as we go, so we're all on board with looking in our Bibles as we go. Sounds good? Fantastic. Love to lead us in prayer as we consider the things that God has to say to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, that you have revealed yourself in your Son. And we pray that we might have ears to hear and hearts to understand what you say to us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to kind of start, I know we've just read the Bible, but I want to give another reading, but not from the Bible, from the book of Winnie the Pooh. Who's read this? Oh, less than morning church. There you go. That's interesting. Maybe it's a book for older people, Winnie the Pooh. Anyway, it's a great book. I found this on my wife's reading bedside table thing, you know, the little shelf next to the bed. And there's a lovely story in it about finding a heifer lump, or actually not finding a heifer lump, as the story goes. Let me read it to you, and it's up on the screen as well. And I promise this has a point. So we'll get back to the Bible. But first, Winnie the Pooh. One day, when Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were all talking together, Christopher Robin finished the mouthful he was eating and said carelessly, "I saw a heifer lump today, Piglet." "What was it doing?" asked Piglet. I'm not going to do the voices, by the way, of Winnie the Pooh. They're too famous and I'm no good. So anyway, listen to my voice. "What was it doing?" asked Piglet. "Just lumping along," said Christopher Robin. "I don't think it saw me." "I saw one once," said Piglet. "At least I think I did. Only perhaps it wasn't." "So did I," said Pooh, wondering what a heifer lump was. "You don't often see them," said Christopher Robin carelessly. "Not now," said Piglet. "Not at this time of year," said Pooh. Now let me pause there for a little bit in our reading. Interesting little interaction, isn't it? It's a very human moment of Pooh and Piglet have absolutely no idea what a heifer lump is. And so what do you do when you have no idea what a heifer lump is? You try and find one and catch one. What they do is they try and set a trap to catch a heifer lump. The problem is they don't know what a heifer lump is, what it likes. And naturally, because it's Winnie the Pooh, they end up putting a jar of honey in a pit because, of course, heifer lumps like honey. And so that night, they go to sleep, or Piglet goes to sleep, and the next morning, Piglet is anxious, because Piglet realizes maybe I'm about to meet a heifer lump. Here's what Piglet thinks on the next page. There's Piglet. Piglet says this, as Piglet's thinking, what was a heifer lump like? Was it fierce? Did it come when you whistled? How did it come? Was it fond of pigs at all? Now, what a great question if you're a little Piglet. He didn't know the answer to any of these questions, and he was going to see his first heifer lump in about an hour from now. Now, here's the point. And some of you are thinking, hurry up and get to the point. But it's a great story. Here's the point. To search for a heifer lump when you have no idea what on earth a heifer lump is a lot like religion. In fact, I think uncannily like religion. And that is, all kinds of religions out in the world today start like this. That people look up at the stars and they see that surely there is something out there or someone. You can know certain things about the universe, and so you think maybe we're not alone, or maybe I look within and I find the meaning there. That is how many people have described religion, a search for God or a search for something. But there's a problem with that, and the problem is that Christianity, and I think rightly says this, that that doesn't get you very far. That is, when you look up in the stars, you can start to feel like you're chasing heffalumps. What is this God? What is he like? Does he like piglets? Who is he? How do you answer that kind of question as this human being on this earth looking up at the stars? You can't answer that question, the Bible says, unless God reveals himself to us. This is, I think, the uniqueness about Christianity, is that God reveals himself to us. See, religion is about people trying to find God, and yet Christianity is about God finding us. The beautiful truth, it's what we're going to unpack tonight. And I want to suggest that as we've looked through the book of Genesis, isn't this a wonderful truth about God? Where does Genesis start? Who does Genesis start with? It starts with God. See, the Bible doesn't start with us, it starts with God, and that is very significant. And that is, before there was anything, before there was a creation, there was God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity. He did not need us, and yet he existed for all eternity. There is God, and then there is us, because he made us. But more than that, Genesis, as you remember, doesn't start with Adam and Eve looking up at the stars thinking, I wonder how we got here. What is this God like who has made us? That's not how it starts, is it? It starts with Adam and Eve in a relationship with God. Together with him in a garden. So if you like, that search for religion, I think, begins after the fall. And that is, as Adam and Eve sin and they're cast out of the garden, each of us has this sense that there is something. There is a God. That's the product of the fall, because we have lost our relationship with God. That's why that search is inbuilt in us, because we long to be back where we were. But do you remember the first words that God says to Adam and Eve after they sin? Once someone, you know, we've just done Genesis, a little bit of a test. Who can tell me? First words God says in chapter 3 of Genesis after Adam and Eve sin. What does God say? God says, where are you? What a beautiful truth about God. Have you ever stopped to think, God is the God who searches for humanity? From the very first chapters of the Bible, God wants a relationship with us. Where are you? And that's part of why I love Exodus 33. Turn with me there. And if you don't, feel free to listen along, but it would help if you turn there, Exodus 33. That moment when Moses speaks with God. Exodus 33, verse 18. And Moses asks one of the most extraordinary requests in the whole Bible. Do you notice that? Moses says, verse 18, please, he says this to God, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. What a thing to say to God. And as we read, God's answer is, you cannot see me and live. No one can see my face. And yet, God takes Moses and hides him in the cleft of a rock in a mountain and gives him a glimpse. The beautiful passage is, even a glimpse is overwhelming. As God peels back his hand for a moment and Moses sees the back of the glory of God, and God says his name. the Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is the glory of God, his name. And as Moses sees a glimpse, he falls down and worships. But I want to pause with you for a minute and think about Moses' request. I've been thinking about that request this week. Isn't that a beautiful thing to ask of God? God, show me your glory. Think about Moses. Has he not seen the glory of God? As God delivered his people out of Egypt, rescued them in a cloud and with fire and through the Red Sea, destroyed Pharaoh and his armies, and he's brought his people out and they're heading to the promised land. And Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Because even that for Moses is not enough in some sense. He wants more of God. I wonder if you feel like Moses. In fact, I think if we start to understand what God is like, we should feel like Moses. That the more we understand who God is, the more we want to know more of him. Show me your glory. And yet there is this problem. How do we see God, the holy, invisible God? So we come to Colossians chapter 1. Turn with me. We've got one more turn after this, so bear with me. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, Colossians 1, 15, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we're in Paul's letters, just waiting until the flicks end, well done. Colossians 1, verse 15, talking about the Lord Jesus, Paul says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Now what a passage. One of those passages we might have read a few times and so it starts to lose its effect. We need to look at it closely about what it says about the Lord Jesus. Verse 15, he is the firstborn of all creation. Now that doesn't mean he came into existence first. What it means is that he is the firstborn, the inheritor of all. He always was the Son. And he is the one who inherits all of creation. Verse 16, all things in heaven and on earth were created in him and for him. Now again, some of the familiarity starts to wash over us. But think back to Genesis. If you're a Jew, you believe God is one. Who made the world? God did. God made the heavens and the earth. We see that in Genesis 1. And here, Paul says, this one, the Son, made all things. Paul's saying this one is God. That's what he says down in verse 19. In him, in Jesus, the fullness of God dwells. Now, isn't that, we could spend all night looking at those verses. We won't, but they are remarkable about what they say about the Lord Jesus, that before he became a man, he was the Son and is the Son always. He is God. Because God we worship is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who for all time and before there even was time were in a perfect relationship together. One God in three persons. But Paul calls Jesus the Son, the image of the invisible God. Now, have you ever thought about what that means? At one level, I think what it's saying is that he is God the Son as God the Father. He's the exact representation of the Father. But there's another sense in which it's kind of obvious. How do you image something that's invisible? Well, you make it visible. That's what it means for Jesus to be the image of God. He is the one who came in a body, who became a man. See, we can't see God. This sounds obvious, but it's true. We can't see God for two reasons. He is holy, infinite. The other reason is because he is invisible. How do you see the invisible God? Well, you can't. And yet Paul says we see the Son, the image of the invisible God. Something that our eyes can't see because we are small creatures. We can see in Jesus. Turn with me then to John chapter 1. It's our last Bible flick. I hope it's worth it. No, I promise it is worth it. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John, uniquely out of all the gospel writers, starts his gospel with Jesus as the Word, the Son who is God. An incredible way to start a book about a man. It says this in verse 14. John 1, verse 14. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, isn't that an extraordinary verse? Think about what that means, that the Son, God the Son, became man. That is, he took on a human nature. He became a human being. He didn't begin to exist when he was born Jesus. He took on a human nature. Look at what John says. We have seen his glory. Now, if you've still got Exodus 33 in your head, that is a huge thing to say. We have seen his glory, John says, of a man. The glory of God. Verse 18, John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. That's straight from Exodus 33, but the only God, the only begotten God, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. What a wonderful truth about our God. God wants to know us so that he sent his Son, Jesus, as a man. That starts to bend your brain a little bit, doesn't it? Kind of imagine meeting Mary when she's pregnant, and inside her womb is the Son of God as a baby who became a boy who grew up into a teenager, into a man. God become a man. Doesn't that blow your mind? That God would stoop that low to become one of us. But that's the claim of the Bible. John 14, verse 6, it's up on the screen. I love this passage. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he says this, verse 7, have a look at this. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. What a thing to say. If you had known me, you would have known God, my Father. But from now on, you do know him and have seen him. The image of God. You have seen him. Now, Philip, I love Philip here. He doesn't get it. But he asked basically the same question as Moses, just in a really kind of dodgy way. Now, Moses is there saying to God, show me your glory. And what does Philip say? Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. I mean, what a request. Show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Show us God. That's a huge request, and I don't think Philip knows what he's asking. But look at Jesus' answer, verse 9. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What a thing to say. He's not lying. I just want to press on this. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen God, the Father. Why? Because he is the image of God. He is truly God as a man. You guys ever heard the phrase spitting image before? I don't know how Tracy translated this morning for the Mandarin congregation, Because it's a weird phrase, isn't it? Spitting image. I raise this because people say to me often, you are the spitting image of your father. And I think we know what it means, but it's kind of like, what kind of phrase is spitting image? So I Googled it. Now, does anyone know where it came from? It seems to have come from the phrase, the very spit and image. That is, the very stuff, the exact likeness of the father. And so for me, I'm told, and you know, it's true, unfortunately for my wife, that I have very similar mannerisms and I look very similar to my father. And so people will say, you are the spitting image of your father. And I don't mean this irreverently when I say that the son is the very spit and image of his father. Actually, I think that's very helpful theologically. That is that Jesus, the Son, is of the very essence of God because he is God. When you see the Son, you see the Father. He is the very spit and image of God, his Father. So that when he walked this earth, he had the mannerisms of God the Father. Isn't it a beautiful thing when you read through the Gospels, you see the heart of God in the Son. What does God love? The weak and the vulnerable. Jesus goes after the sinners and tax collectors. He eats with them. He ignores the rich, the self-sufficient, and he goes for the poor. And they love him. He calms the storm. He raises the dead. He has such deep compassion. Do you feel it when you read the Gospels? That this is God. This is our God who loves us, who came to seek and save the lost. You know, in the Old Testament, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then comes a man, Jesus of Nazareth, who came into our world and said, as a man, I am the good shepherd. Because he is the very spit and image of his father. Come into our world. So if you want to know what God is like, what John is saying is look at the Lord Jesus, because he reveals him to us. You know, John, who wrote this biography, he was with Jesus for about 3 years, maybe a little bit more, and he was one of his closest followers, and he walked with him, he ate with him, he drank with him, he saw him die, he saw him rise. And after all of that, John writes these words of a man, we have seen his glory, because he knew that this one is God. That is the heart of our faith, brothers and sisters, that God came down into our world in the person of the Son. Why? Why did he do that? Well, let me tell you about a council, and this is relevant. Let me tell you about a council in 325 AD. It's called the Council of Nicaea. So I've given you a Google map, and I've tried to put a little location sticker. That's about where Nicaea is, modern-day Turkey. Near Istanbul, or what was Constantinople. In the 300s AD, people in the Christian world were wrestling with the question, who is Jesus? Is he God like God the Father is God? Is he truly God? And people were going around saying he's not. And they had their Bibles open, and they concluded, of course he is. It's clear, and we've seen it tonight, it is clear, Jesus is God. And as part of that council, they wrote what we still say every now and then here, the Nicene Creed. And I love this creed. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but I want to read you a line from it. It's on the next slide. Because as they were wrestling with what it means for Jesus to be God, the question then comes, why did he come at all as a man? And here's their answer. You see, they're talking about Jesus as God the Son, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. They're beautiful words. Begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. That is, he is God as God the Father is God. Through him all things were made. And here's the line. Why did he come? For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. Now I'll tell you why I love that line so much. Because that is dripping with Bible. When you open the New Testament and you ask the question, why did Jesus come as a man? That is the answer for us. You see it all through Romans 8, verse 32. God gave up his son for us so that we might be saved. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ became a curse for us. Isn't that an astonishing thing that God is not distant from us? We're not searching for someone that we can't know. God has come down in the Lord Jesus for us. Because as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, it is God the Son who hangs there so that we might know him. See, Moses said, "Show me your glory," to God. Haven't we seen his glory tonight? The glory of his only Son who came down to die for us, that we might be with God forever. See, I think Moses, his glimpse feels glorious because it was on the mountaintop and there's lots made of it, but he longed to see what we see. He longed to know the Lord Jesus as we know him. Because God has revealed himself to us. See, religion might be a search for God, but Christianity is really an account of God searching for us and finding us, of a God who came to seek and save the lost. Isn't that wonderful? That our God wants us to know him. Now, I wonder if you're here tonight and you're still searching. You're looking out into our world and you think, I think there is a God. I just don't know what he's like. I want to encourage you, if that's you, unless you have an encounter with Jesus in the pages of the Bible, you will search for heffalumps. And I mean that sincerely. God has made himself known. We can know him. Otherwise, we're just chasing empty words. He has come. So can I encourage you, if that's you, come along to the Life Series. We heard AJ talk about the Life Series before. We'd love you to come because it's 5 weeks where we hear about the key claims of Jesus. It's well worth your time. But for many of us here tonight, we know God, which is a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? We know God. And yet, like Moses, I want to encourage us tonight to cultivate our hearts to pray his prayer. Lord, show me your glory. Show me more of yourself. When was the last time you prayed something like that of God? Show me more of you in your word as I see your son. I want to encourage you this week, that is a great prayer to pray. God, show me more of yourself. Because that's the Christian life, isn't it? Jesus said eternal life is knowing God, and as we continue in the Christian life, we know him more and more. And so we ought to pray, God, fill me with that longing that Moses had to see more of you. Because we know more of God than Moses ever dreamed. But I want to finish with a promise, and I love this promise in 1 John chapter 3. It's up on the screen. Let me read it for us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, he says, we are God's children now. What a thing to say. We are God's children because of the Son. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, when he comes back, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, the Lord Jesus. Because we shall see him as he is. Aren't they beautiful words? This is our hope, brothers and sisters, that when we stand before the throne of God, when Jesus returns, we will be glorified in our bodies and we will be like the Lord Jesus. Because just as we bear the image of Adam now, on that day we will bear the man of heaven's image. Because that is where we're heading. We are heading to a future where we will see God and live forever. So brothers and sisters, as we get into another term, can I encourage us all, press on. Press on with the Christian life, because that is where we are going. We will see God. And as we get into growth groups, as we consider Jesus together, may our prayer be like Moses. Lord, show me your glory. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are not left looking up into the stars, asking, where are you? But that you are the one who calls to us, where are you? Lord God, we thank you that in the person of your Son, you came down from heaven for us and for our salvation, that we might know you, the only true living God. And we pray with Moses, Lord, show us your glory more and more as we wait for the day when we see you face to face. Amen.